Let us turn to the Song of Solomon and chapter 2. And we shall read together again verses 1 to 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Verses 1 and 2 are spoken by the Beloved, that is, by Christ. And the verses 3 and 4 are the response by the church or by the individual believer. And I think we shall take it as by the individual believer. In this case, a female, not because of any political correctness, but just because the person here, the Shunammite woman, is indeed a female. So, first of all, we have here Christ's confidence in himself. I would like a better word than confidence, but I can't think of any better word. I'm afraid of the word self-confidence because it has rather unfortunate connotations for ourselves. We don't like excessive self-confidence in people. But quite clearly here, one of the things that comes to us, and the thing that comes to us with great force, is Christ's confidence in himself. Now, for us, it would be wrong to have such self-confidence in ourselves. But not so for Christ, because he is without sin. He is without any taint of sin. And when he speaks, even when he speaks concerning himself, he speaks with untainted truth. There is never anything in it, even of excess. Nothing that is over the top. Nothing that is tainted in that way at all. But simply the way things are. And over again in the Word of God, we see the things that he says about himself. And right across it all, the conclusion we must reach is that he had this confidence in himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it shall be within a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. All these things, showing us exactly what I am speaking about tonight, what comes out in the words, I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. This wonderful, divine self-confidence confidence in himself as to who he was, confidence in his own mission, confidence in his own person. All these things are gathered together for us here in these words. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. The Bible is full of these claims, unselfconscious claims, and yet claims that show us the confidence that he had in who he was and what he would do, and particularly in this case of what he is and will be to his people. I am, he says, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. These things are all simply truth. There is no taint in them. There is no taint of self-aggrandizement in them. That was just not in his person whatsoever. He was the one who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and was obedient unto death, the death of the cross. He is the very opposite in these things of self-aggrandizement. He didn't need any such thing. Same self-confidence is expressed for us in these words. I am, he says, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now we just want to look just a little bit deeper at this for a moment. I think it is true to say that we connect our love for Christ very largely to what he has done for us. And there is nothing wrong in that. But in these words, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, he is not focusing on what he has done or what he will do. He is focusing on himself, on his passion, on what he is in himself. With confidence, speaking about fragrance of his passion and the beauty of his passion. The rose for fragrance and the lily for beauty. Now, what is important about that? Personally, very recently, I've realized the importance of that sort of slight distinction between loving the Lord Jesus for what he did and going further, perhaps going to a higher level in your spiritual life, graduating, as it were, to the point where we love him for himself. That's a great question for us. Do we love him for himself? Now, Jonathan Edwards, in his wonderfully helpful reflections on the life of David Brainerd, he speaks about the character of this most saintly of men. And he says this about him, that he was one person who loved God and loved Christ, not for the work or even for the achievement, or even for the triumph of Christ, but that he loved Christ just for himself. He loved the person. That is what this word before us tonight must take us towards. It must speak this word and put this question before us. Do we love Christ for himself? Do we love the person? Now I know the person is inseparable from his work. But I do believe that there is a going forward here, a reaching a higher level in our relationship and in our devotions, that we love him for himself. He has that confidence in himself that those who really know him will enjoy him for himself. I, he says, am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Sometimes this rose of Sharon is translated the rose of the fields, and that is a possible translation. Because there was this particular rose that just bloomed in the open field where there was no protection or anything like that. That is also helpful to us. It emphasizes to us the accessibility of Christ. That he is not, he doesn't enclose himself in a walled garden, but that he is there in the open field for any who will come to him and receive him and enjoy him. So he expresses in these images before us something of himself, going as it were right into his person and drawing us right into his person. So the second thing we find here is Christ's insight into the believer's lot in this world. I wonder if we ever cry, does God know? Does God see? The psalmist once asked these questions. Here we have the assurance that Christ has a very real insight and understanding into the believer's lot in a world which is often hostile to them. It is so reassuring to read these words and to think of them in this way. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. That is what he sees. He sees the believer in this world as an isolated lily among the rest of the world. The rest of the world is just like thorns in comparison, and very thorny to the lily. Chooses the lily here rather than rose, particularly, I believe, because of the emphasis on the delicacy and the fragility. He sees his own child in this world as one that is delicate and fragile and surrounded with the thorns of this world, with all the goads, with all the pricks, with all the hostility, with all the unkindness, with all the oppression. He knows it. He says, I see thee. A lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. A lily among thorns, but my love out of all the surrounding people, the multitudes, there is my love there, just like a lily among thorns. What picture does the world see? Is it not the case that the world sees the very opposite picture? That the world sees the Christian very often as a thorn. Something which they wish wasn't there at all, because their very presence is to them prickly. Their conscience is disturbed. You see, we can't help that. Our very presence in the society of this world will cause conscience to hurt and will bring certain convictions into the minds of people. And they don't want that. They don't want these pricks. They see themselves as the lilies, the ones who really know something. Perhaps the educated, perhaps the real thinkers, perhaps the realists. Yet in the midst of us, they say, there's this thorn of the Christian. No wonder there are some people who would extinguish Christianity. When Philip Pullman was making his film, or one of his films, we are thankful to say that the rest have not appeared, and we are thankful to God for that. But he said this in setting out to make his film, that his intention was to kill God in the minds of children. That was his intention. Because the very presence of God in the minds of children, the very suggestion that there are Christians in society, is offensive to them. They see a thorn where the Christian is. A prickly thorn, spoiling things. But Christ sees it differently. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And he has the truth. Here is full insight into the reality of the Christian in the world. No wonder we have a psalm to describe this, and describes it so wonderfully. The rage of the heathen in Psalm number 2. Oh, it's just the revulsion against Christianity and against any kind of restrictions on freedom. Let us cast their cords asunder. Let us break their cords asunder and their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. Let us be done with it. Let us extinguish it. That's what the heathen says. What is Christ's response? He that sits in heaven shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Jesus says, yes, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. She is my love. I know her situation. I understand it perfectly. I know the pricks. I know the offense. I know the oppression. I know that Satan even pushes sin itself into their faces. That's what's happening today. And it is so oppressive to the Christian.
The Lord knows what it's like. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, the question is this. You see, in these things, in saying this, that his love is like a lily among the thorns, is he expressing something of a desire that it were not so? What do you think? The answer, I believe, is no. He would not have it any other way. Indeed, the more different she is from the world, the better in his sight. The more separate, the more lovely, the more holy, the more pleasing she is to him. So, there is this too, that it is these very pricks, these assaults and oppressions, which eventually work for the good of the Christian. I say to you often, I say it again, there are certain things that must be done in the Christian, which can only be done in this life, exactly as it is, with all the oppression, with all the environment of sin, with all the pricks, with all the hatred, and with all the despising. And all these things work together for good. As soon as these things have done all that they can do in the sanctifying of the Christian, I don't believe that they will be left one second longer in this world. Transported then to heaven. But the things that were done in this world, the sanctifying process that went on in this world, cannot be done in the environment of heaven, because there is no sin, there is no oppression, there are no pricks in that place. Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That is the situation. That is the truth of it. And Christ knows that that is the way it is. There's something of that in Psalm 45. Something of the same idea of separation from the world. Separation from worldly ties. So we're singing together. Thou must forget thy kindred all. O daughter, take good heed. Thou must forget thy kindred all. And father's house most dear. Then will thy beauty to the king be delightful. Then, as if it is saying, the more the ties, the slacker the ties, the looser the ties, the more pleasing she will be in his sight. And thirdly, we come to the response of the believer. Verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Believer's response. My beloved. My unique one. So is my beloved among the sons, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Picture here is of a wood. The trees of the wood, literally trees that produce wood. That's what it is. And as if among all these trees, which had to be felled in order to be of any use, there is in the midst the apple tree, this one apple tree. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Contrasted with all these other surrounding trees, the apple tree continually producing fruit, generously producing fruit, continually useful and producing wholesome food. That is a picture of Christ. This believer here knows what it is to feed upon Christ. Oh, my friend, do we really feed upon Him? Do we read the Word of God devotionally, looking for Christ, seeking to feed upon Him? One of the other things that I've discovered in the life of David Brainerd is this tremendous emphasis he put in his prayer life on what he called sweetness. Again and again he will say that he had a time of prayer. This, he didn't have this every time of prayer, but again and again it comes up. And I felt some sweetness. Do we seek that sweetness? Tasting of Christ, feeding upon Him, and enjoying the sweetness. Sweet to our souls. Feeding our souls. Strengthening our souls. Gladdening our souls, enlivening our souls. So Christ is to the believer like an apple tree among the trees of the wood. Fruit, continuing fruit. And also sweet fruit, sweet to his or her taste. Then finally we have here her enjoyment of Christ. Middle of verse 3, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. It is as if she is saying, he is my retreat. Place to which I withdraw in order to rest, in order to be recharged. Like an oasis in life. An Elim. Elim was an oasis. What did it say? 12 wells and 70 palm trees. What a wonderful thing that must have been in the wilderness for the children of Israel. So is Christ to this believer like a retreat, like an oasis. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. He is like a shade in the burning heat. Like a shade from all the burdens, all the oppressions, all the stresses of life. Life seems to be so full of stress. Modern life just seems to have stress written all over it. Do we have a retreat? When we need retreat, we are tired. We're needing to put all the cares behind us and relax. What do? Sit down? Do we switch on the telly? Do we lift the newspaper? Or some glossy magazine? Or do we listen to some music? Or do we just sit under the shade of Christ? It is just so out of tune with modern life. So much so that we are sucked into the ways of modern life. When the opportunity comes, and God perhaps deliberately makes us tired so that we will sit down, and then we go and behave just like the world. Grab a newspaper or something like that to relax. Instead of just sitting under the shade, under the shadow of Christ, to do so with great delight. Oh, how afraid we are of empty moments. It should never be the case. Empty moments. For the Christian should be full. It has been said about the Christian that he is never less alone than when he is alone. Is that the way with us? And that also he is never more lonely than when he is in a crowd. That would be a worldly crowd. It has also been said that he is never less idle than when he is doing nothing in terms of worldly business. How does that sit with our lives? Have we just fallen into the ways and the habits of the world? Take all the things the world throws at us. It is as if the world is throwing at us. Newspapers, magazines, everything. Entertainment, music. Do we just open our arms and take it? Just what the world wants us to do. Just what Satan wants to do. Or do we say no? No. I will sit under the shadow of Christ, and I will do so with great delight. She says, "The fruit was sweet to my taste." Not just sweet in a general sense. Sweet to my taste. That is the change that Christ makes in the life. That he gives us new tastes. And he himself, who before was not sweet to us, and who is not sweet in any way to the world, but She says, "He is, he was sweet to my taste. Maybe not to others. Maybe not to anybody around me. But to my taste, he is sweet." Do we taste the sweetness of Christ? Do we take time to do so? Do we retire? Do we go aside from the current, from the torrent of life, and just enjoy Christ? If we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, Peter says, sincerely desire the sincere milk of the word, and you may grow thereby, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How are we going to taste his graciousness if we do not just say stop? World, keep out. Just let me be with Christ. Brought her to the banqueting house. A feast prepared. A feast of spiritual blessings. And his banner over me was love. There are so many things we could write on that banner from the Word of God. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Oh, the kindness which Christ drew us. I remember hearing a man in a question once speaking. I've just never forgotten it. He said, he draws us to himself. When we want to round up the sheep, he says, we put the dog round them and we dog them in. That's not Christ's way, he says. He draws with his loving kindness. Banner, not just a wee tap, but for all to see, public ownership. Public declaration of ownership. This one belongs to me. This one is mine. One way or another, Christ will ensure that. If we are faithful, if we truly love him, he will ensure that the world knows we are different. I was very pleased once to hear somebody saying about a certain congregation, somebody in the village in which the congregation was. He was not a believer by any stretch of the imagination. But he said this. One thing, he says, I can say about the people in that congregation. They are different. It's a wonderful thing. For even the world to say about God's people. So, here it is. In this amazing book, this amazing Song of Songs. This is not food for the soul. This is not stimulation. This is not spurring on to greater things. Here is Christ in his love for the believer, overflowing and intense. Having loved us with everlasting love. Let us pray.
pray that thou wilt bring us forward in our Christian lives. O Lord, we pray that for all of us that we shall find thee to be sweet to our taste. That thou wilt instill in us, Lord, these habits which push out the world and which bring us under thy shadow. Oh, to love that place, to long for it, and to delight in it. Bless us throughout the rest of this day. Bless us in our homes, in our families, in our relationships. Bless us in our labours in the coming week. Bless our basket and our store. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name. Amen.